to Park Valley Church's Sermon of the Week. It doesn't matter if you have been a Christ follower for years or new to the Christian faith, you have come to the right place. Listen in as one of our campus pastors shares how to apply biblical truth in a tangible way. As you listen, we pray you have an encounter with Jesus that leads to real and lasting life change.
It's great. Thank you so much for Paul. I think he's usually in this service. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony and everything with us. And I, in the process of just preparing for the weekend here, I literally couldn't get him out of my mind. We were talking about it. We always have a creative meeting on Tuesdays. And so we started talking about it. And Carl was like, you know what? He was like, he was having a heart attack and he still beat me at table tennis. Like, that's how good. He brings a strong game. You know people are serious when they call it table tennis and not ping pong. You know, that's a big one. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about just, you know, making some healthy choices and then with our diet and with our bodies and everything, but then transition a little bit to stress, just kind of like dovetailing off what Paul was talking about. So like I said, a little bit different kind of a message. And I understand too that there's a lot of you in here that are probably like super professional and qualified for some of these things, to talk on some of these things. But at the same time too, like, I'm definitely passionate about it. You know, I noticed in myself, like, I've had the luxury at times throughout my life to not really have to pay too much attention to what's going into my body. And I know that what ended up happening was, though, when I was about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in my mid-30s, and man, let me tell you, it started to catch up with me really quick. And you know, if you have a desk job and you're constantly sitting sedentary at a desk all day long, I mean, that's what I was doing. I was just constantly on the computer, preparing things for a weekend, whatever it was. And can I be honest with you? I felt horrible. I felt horrible. My self-image was in the tank. And I was like, man, you know what? I need to not go on a diet. I need to make lifestyle, like, actual life-changing decisions now. Because if I don't force myself to do it now, I'll be forced to do it in the next 10 years. And so for me, I just was like, you know what? I know that we all have abs. Can we all sit? We all have abs, right? Or else we wouldn't be able to sit up, you know? So we all have abs, washboard abs in here. Just, can you see them or not? Are they visible? I've never visibly seen mine. Only the Lord has. And maybe one day I will starve myself down enough to be able to see them. But I don't really care about that. I'm not talking about doing stuff like that. I'm talking about just overarching in your life to start making a conscious decision to take care of yourself and to honor the body that God has given you. The story goes, my friend's father has been a huge mentor to me over the years, and he always has these super deep stories that he shares and different things. And one of them, I was trying to find if it was a real story or if it was kind of like a just life application kind of story, but I thought it was kind of really appropriate for when we talk about our health and everything, because he talks about a ship, you know, a long time ago before there was all the navigational devices and everything that they have today. The navigator was plotting out his, you know, direction where he was going and neglected to sharpen his pencil as he was going. And then so what ended up happening was, after months and months at sea, he started to incrementally get off the course and off the beaten path and eventually ended up crashing the ship. He was completely in a spot where he didn't think he was. And, you know, it's funny when you think about something like that, something so incrementally small to get off. Like, and if you catch that in a day or two, you're not really going to be that far off. But as you compound that over months and months and months, you start to see that, man, like, you can really veer off course very, very quickly. And I kind of think that that happens a lot with our health a lot of times. I know that there are things that we're born with, and there are things that we've been blessed to have passed down from our families and all that stuff that we have to deal with. But I do think that regardless, overall, to have an overarching just approach to your life that, you know what, man, God has given me this body and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do the best that I can. And I think it doesn't mean that you can't go out and enjoy yourself and all that stuff. I honestly had cookies last night and I enjoyed them. Guilt-free. No guilt at all. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this: so if you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything to honor God. And, you know, that chapter is talking about, you know, eating foods that's been offered up as a sacrifice to idols. But I think really food can become an idol in our life a lot of times. And the things that we put in, again, starts to affect our health long-term over time. Everything we do, we should be, including what we eat, we should be striving to honor God with it. When you take care of your body, you are honoring what God has given you. You know, a lot of you have heard this analogy before. It's an old one, but man, you know, if at 16 years of age, you were given your driver's license and you were also issued a brand new car, and they said, hey, hope you like this new car. This is the only car that you're ever going to get for the rest of your life. You may want to take care of it. How many of y'all would maintain it, would wash it, wax it, put fluids in it, all of that kind of stuff to constantly make sure that you baby that car if that's the only one that you have to drive for the rest of your life? Hopefully your answer is like, yeah, I totally would take care of it. But that is the same thing with our body, you know, and it's so easy to, for one day, to put some junk in your body and be like, whatever. It's another thing when it starts to stretch out time and time again, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. I know that we all have an end date. I do know that. We all have an appointment where we're going to be stepping in front of the Lord Almighty, and we're going to be giving an account for our life. I just think that, again, while we're here on earth, to do the best that we can to take care of the body that God has given us is a way for us to honor Him. The food today, though, is very hard to break. It's very easy to get some food addictions. How many of y'all will anybody just attest to that with me? Yeah, like, man, I love Cheez-Its. I could just eat Cheez-Its all the time. I wish it was a healthy snack because it would be amazing. Something is weird when you can literally just keep going with a chip and you don't ever feel full. You just can keep going. You have to shut it off. I have to now count. I look at the serving size and I count and I separate it because I won't stop. I'll just keep going. Oh, it's just little chips. Not a big deal. Just grab these little chips. It's like I can take multiple little chips and it makes one big chip. We rationalize all these things in our head a lot of times, and it's like the food companies have mastered how to keep you coming back. You have to understand that. They've invested billions of dollars to make sure that you will continuously keep coming back over and over and over again. So they've got you. You've got to make strong decisions to kind of course correct or make that change in your life before there's things that are nasty, that are chronic illnesses and diseases and things that can start creeping up in your life. We're going to focus on, in the studies here, if you're following along with the Transform series, we're going to be talking about this verse this week, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You know, if you have been in church for a long time and you've read 1 Corinthians 6, you know that the actual context of that verse is they're addressing the issue of sexual sin and sexual intimacy in your life. And I know we've got little kids in here or whatever, but I just wanted to encourage you to honor God with your bodies in that way as well too. There are so many outside forces and things that are pressing on you to do whatever you want to do today. But man, God has in 1 Corinthians 6 laid out a plan for you that, man, you want to talk about health. You want to talk about emotional health and emotional stability? Man, start to follow God's plan for intimacy in your life. So a couple quick things, practical things. I like practical things that you can take away. I know that a lot of you, again, are probably already doing these things. I will say this, I am not a doctor. I am not telling you to do anything or to alter anything without consulting with a doctor first. These are all very basic brushstrokes of things. But these are things that I've done over the last few years that have really, really helped me out. That I just wanted to, again, if you have not been doing any of these things, hopefully this is something that encourages you to start taking your health a little bit more seriously. And I would say, number one, one of the greatest things you can do, forgive me how these are like very simple, but I like simplicity. Start watching the amount of sugar that you're eating and consuming on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Have you ever paid attention to how much sugar you're actually consuming? It's scary when you start to see. Have you ever seen the bags of soda, the bags of sugar picture? I thought about putting that up. And you get to the one that has a landscape in the name, and it's maybe mountainous or whatever, and you see the amount of sugar that's in that thing, it will blow your mind. There is so much sugar that people are putting into their bodies every day. And then now you start to see the fad as well, too, that they're saying, hey, there's no sugar here. I saw a commercial yesterday from a soda company that talked about how 60%+ of their beverages do no longer have sugar in it, which that's amazing. But what do they have in it, though? Artificial sweeteners. Now they have artificial sweeteners. That's great. So now I'll be healthier by just dousing my body with these artificial sweeteners that are made in a lab. That's great. You know, I just think that when it comes down to it, is just everything in moderation, to just be moderate with the things that you're doing and to be cautious with it and to be careful with it. Number two is I would look to consume real foods. And I mean, how many things that you eat on a weekly basis, follow me here, we're going to jump into stress in a second, but how many foods do you eat on a regular basis that have a package on it, that has a label on it? Do you realize a lot of real foods don't come with, you know, a thing that lists out like hydrogenated, whatever it is, all these oils and different things like that? If you can take food out of a package, put it on a table, and nothing changes with that thing throughout the course of a week, guys, that's not real food. If the only thing that happens is it just the moisture seeps out into the atmosphere and that thing's just as hard as a brick, that's not real food, you know? So be cautious of those types of things. The seed oils they're finding right now too, the vegetable, soy, canolas are causing chronic inflammation in people's body. Number three is I would find an exercise routine. I cannot tell you how many times I have conversations with people and encourage them to exercise, and the amount of people that like scoff at it and joke about it or whatever, which I know some people are just being funny, but man, like, take your health seriously. It would be so valuable for you to find a trainer, to find a personal trainer, whatever it may be, that could actually coach you and point you in the right direction with things. If you have the financial wherewithal to be able to do that, man, you're going to save yourself a lot of time, a lot of heartache and everything by just getting linked up with some good coaching and somebody that can point you in the right direction. Last two, I try to walk 10,000 steps a day. I hit it every once in a while. A lot of times I get very close. But man, to get up out of your desk every day, to take some walks, start drinking more fluids, start drinking more water. And then lastly, to develop regular sleep patterns in your life. That one was a huge one for me. To develop a regular sleep pattern was huge. I was always staying up 1-2 o'clock in the morning, getting up crazy late in the morning as well too. And man, I just flipped that whole script. And it has made all the difference in the world for my health. I just notice it immediately in my health. So stress, let's talk about stress. Is anybody stressed out with hearing me talk about cutting out sugar and having a better diet? yeah, stresses me out. You know, Rick Warren this week did an hour-long message in his Transformed campaign and talked about stress. And one of the things that really stuck out to me, I just thought, man, it's very appropriate for our area, in the area in which we live in, you know. There's so much that we can get caught up in the rat race. I almost put a W in front of race. That would have been good. A little Waskily Rabbit kind of thing happened there. The rat race. You get, you know, stuck in rush hour traffic all the time. And you start to find, like, you deal with, like, you know, politics in general. You deal with politics at your job. You're constantly navigating all these challenging issues and challenging relationships that you're having. You're constantly feeling like you have to watch your back. Then you're trying to, you know, just provide for your family. You want to provide a decent, you know, good, living for your family and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, when you start to deal with all the day-to-day stressors, man, it can start really wearing you down. And sometimes you don't even realize it. You don't realize it how much it could be starting to wear you down and push you down a little bit. They talk about how stress actually alters your immune system response. So you're going to be able to pick up sicknesses a lot easier, and it's not going to be able to fight off things as easy. It suppresses your digestive system, your reproductive system, and your growth processes. They say long-term stress activation of that increase of cortisol in your system, that a prolonged increase of that in your system will literally lead to anxiety, depression, digestive problems, headaches, muscle tension and pain, heart disease, heart attack, high blood pressure and stroke, sleep problems, weight gain, memory and concentration impairment, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's like everything. It's like so much stuff. It's a laundry list of things that we can be affected with prolonged stress and chronic stress that's like hovering over us in our life. There's so many times Crystal and I have, we're like, what are we doing? Like, why are we constantly doing all these different things? Does it really make a difference at the end of the day, you know? So they said later in that article too, because I know so many people have struggled with this, whether you've been to war or whatever and suffer from PTSD type of things. They say that especially people as well too that have had traumatic experiences in their childhood, the overarching, you know, effects of cortisol strain on your body is like magnified. It's like double what it is for a regular person. So, man, for you to be able to take steps every day to be mitigating the stress in your life, I think will do so much, you know. But what are a few things when it comes down to some, I guess, practical things that we can be doing? Well, I would say this, first and foremost, I found this study, it was in 2017, marked the top stresses in America was money, work, and economy. You know, who knows what they are today? I started to think about those three things, and I thought, these are kind of like provisionary kind of stresses. Like, I want to provide a good, you know, whatever for my family, a good living for my family, and all these things kind of affect that stuff. That one hits me big time because that's probably my top stressor that I worry about constantly. And I know, like, I said at the early service as well, too, I was like, you know, I was like in college, literally sitting there going, I'm wasting my time being here. I got to go to these classes. I need to get out. I need to start working. I need to start doing all this stuff. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if it? You can play the what if game all the time. And you can start getting yourself in a pretty negative headspace really quick if you're not careful. And so I know for myself, the biggest thing that I've had to apply to my life is I've had to say, hey, point number one, God, I am going to trust God to meet my needs. Period. I'm going to trust God to meet my needs. Can you all say it with me? Just to bring you all back here, just let's say it together. I am going to trust God to meet my needs. Thank you for those of you that participated. I like never participate in those things. I'm like, not doing it. I'm not going to say it. So thank you for participating. I have to say to myself all the time, God is my provider. God's going to take care of me. Tim, let this go. Let this go. I'm not kidding to you when I say this almost daily to myself. You're going to think I'm a freak, but I literally say this verbally out loud to myself almost daily. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I always, man, every time I sense myself starting to go down that negative, you know, train there, I, man, immediately try to bring it back. God, thank you. Thank you for supplying all of my needs. Thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory. It's an attitude that just simply says, God, I'm just surrendering all of this to you. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to go after it. But at the same time, God, the results are yours. Do as you wish. And I'm trusting in you to take care of me. Man, Rick Warren said this. I love quotes that you can just kind of grab a hold of and chew on for a little while. Never put your security on things that can be taken away from you. I said, man, wow, that's a good one. I said, never put your security into things that can be taken away from you. How many times do we put our security into a relationship? And we need to be with that person. We just need to be with them. We just need that job and that title. We just need that amount of money. If I only had this, everything would be great. And man, when you start to realize it, you chase after it, and you're like, wow, all this is empty. It fulfills you for like a flash in the pan, and then you're on to the next thing. Man, that one thing that can never be taken away from you is a true relationship with Jesus, a true relationship with the Lord. So man, we look to God to meet our needs, not ourselves, not our job, not anything else around us. Number two, to mitigate stress in my life, I am going to take time to rest. I'm going to take time to rest. It's important for you to take time to breathe a little bit and to build in some time in your life and in your calendar where you can just rest. to say that you're going to start now honoring God's instruction about a Sabbath, having a Sabbath in your life. There's a lot that can be said about that, but, you know, very quickly, the Sabbath is so important. Here you find that after God created the heaven and the earth from the very beginning of time in Scripture, what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Here's the question. Do you really think that the God of the universe, who just created everything, needed to actually take a day to just take a load off? I don't think so. It's a joke, right? Of course he doesn't need to. But what is he doing? Man, he's providing us an example on how we should be living our life, on how we should be patterning. That's a bad word to use. Just on what we should do. I should just say that. Jeez, this is going downhill quick. Last couple things with that too. I think it's important daily to be taking time to where you're separating yourself away from your phone. Everybody can get into that kind of scrolling thing, and you're diving into what everybody else is doing in their life, and you're diving into every political thing and every bit of what, and you're constantly pumping that into your mind all the time. And I love Philippians 4:8. In the Message translation, it says, "You'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly." A lot of times, it's like we're kind of attracted to negative things at times, and we kind of get pulled with that. I'm forever amazed at how popular, like, these murder documentaries are. It's like, it's crazy. I've been saying it all of them. It's like, isn't it creepy? Like, there's, I don't know if you've ever seen that meme where it's like the husband's like freaked out about how much his wife is into the murder documentaries and stuff like that, but kind of funny. But man, it's like we take some time to rest and then that's what we turn on, you know? Phenomenal. Number three is just to make a decision to say, I'm going to give back. Sometimes when you're in a difficult season in your life, sometimes it's good to just stop thinking about those things, dwelling on those things, roll up your sleeves and to just do something for somebody else. To just do something kind for other people. I think that when I think about some stresses in my life, sometimes they're a little selfish. Sometimes they're a little self-centered. They're a little self-focused. And a great way to not be so self-focused is to turn around and to be able to give back to somebody. And so, man, a lot happens when you take the eye off of yourself, you put down your own agendas, you put down your own issues and all that stuff, and you start to dive into other people, and especially too, man, other people that are hurting and struggling. And man, you start to see that some of the things that you're really going through and that you're making a big deal really aren't that big of a deal at all. You know, not all of the things, obviously, but, you know, we've talked about the DR. We have that missions team down at the DR, and it's really, like Barry has said this before too, it's like really the people that go on the missions trip, almost like it's like they receive more than the people that they're actually going down there to do the work for, you know? So it's, we're wired to serve. That's why we always talk about, man, get into growth track, get into serving here at the church, find places to jump in to start serving. Lastly, my ultimate rest is in the Lord, you know? There's going to be stressful times. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be problems. There's going to be addictions. There's going to be things that we all have to fight. But man, your ultimate rest comes from a true relationship with the God of the universe who died on a cross and shed his blood for you. You know, it's only by that grace and by that forgiveness that we're able to even have a shot. And I would just ask, have you ever taken that step? Have you ever truly surrendered your life over to Jesus? Have you maybe surrendered your life over to Jesus, but your relationship is cold as ice? So many times people wander away and need to kind of come back and recommit and refocus. That happens all the time, and that's okay. But man, to take some steps in your life to really work on that relationship with Jesus, I would challenge you to be following along with this campaign as we walk through it and just kind of ask God, you know, ask the Lord in your prayer time, just, God, what do you want me to get out of this campaign that we're doing. But I would encourage you to definitely choose Jesus over everything else and to stop trying to do life on your own. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Maybe you say, yeah, Tim, I have never had a relationship with the Lord like you're talking about. I come to church, I warm a seat, but this has never really been real to me. This has never been a thing that is like truly life change from the inside out kind of thing. And I feel like God's working on me right now. And maybe it's your time today to make that step, to take that step of obedience, to take that step of faith, and to surrender your life over to Jesus. And if you'd like to do so, you could simply just say a prayer to yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. And it's a heart thing. It's not just you checking a box and saying a prayer. But you could simply just say something like this to Jesus. Just simply say, God, I come before you here this morning. And God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I recognize that I need you in my life. God, I believe that you died on a cross. And I believe that you shed your blood for me. God, I believe that you also didn't stay there. I believe that you rose again 3 days later. Please come into my heart, save me, and wash me clean. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God, thank you so much for each and every individual that's here. And God, I just pray that we can come out of here, Lord, just kind of meditating on our health and on our stress and all those types of things, God, and just lean into you for your direction and for your guidance and just recognizing that, hey, you've got it. You're the author of everything. And so we just pray that we just trust in you more. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. If you accepted Christ, want to accept Christ, or just want to see what Park Valley Church is about, you can email us at info@parkvalleychurch.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.